Who here wants to be perfect? No hands. Oh, there's one. Okay. Well, is it not our goal to be perfect? I am not perfect. I want to be perfect. But how many times have you said that to yourself? We may even ask ourselves why it's so difficult to be perfect. To be absolutely perfect is impossible, because as we all know, everybody sins. Striving for perfection is probably the most difficult thing one can do. However, that does not mean that we can't do our best to attain perfection. Matthew 5, verse 48 states that we shall become perfect, just as our Father in heaven is perfect. So, as long as we are flesh and blood, we are on our journey towards perfection. In the world we live in, there are many ways that people search for perfection. For example, some may look for the perfect job, others may look for the perfect mate. Many people dream about having the perfect body. But these are very tough to achieve. Even though you may be satisfied with what you have, it does not mean that it is perfect. There is always something that you may not be satisfied with. The question is, can you deal with it? Now, there are many things that can be perfectly achieved, as, for example, a perfect driving record, a perfect attendance in school, a perfect score on a test. All this takes work. This is striving for perfection. The most important thing to consider is where we have help when we strive for perfection. To achieve perfection, we have to prepare for it, like taking a test, for example. In most cases, studying hard will get you there. You have to be prepared for the test. You can't just walk into it blind, expecting to pass and get a perfect score. Now, spiritually speaking, as our goal is to become perfect, we are given the ultimate test of obedience. Are we prepared to pass it? Now, we experience several, let's say, pop quizzes along the way, since we don't know when they will come, as many times we are caught off guard. And this is why we need to be prepared. Have we studied enough? Have we studied continually to pass this test and any other test that is thrown at us? Preparation is the key, and we have to be prepared at all times, especially when we are being tempted and tested by Satan, just as Christ was in many occasions. Now, Christ passed them all, and that is why he was perfect. Perfection could not have been achieved from the very beginning, or I'm sorry, could have been achieved from the very beginning of the Bible with the first man created. And Adam and Eve had everything they needed, and they lived in paradise. Everything was perfect. But that did not mean that they couldn't be tempted to sin. And their wrong decision started a stumbling block for mankind in Genesis 3. So what happened to this world as a result? Let's look at Romans chapter 1 and verse 18. Romans chapter 1 and verse 18. And we'll read through 28. So verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because that we, or that may be known of God, is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them." Since they once understood, that is. "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanliness in the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. Verse 25, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Here, clearly, it was man's choice to do that, to live that way, not to obey God. God wasn't forcing anything on anybody. For this reason, verse 26, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged a natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lusts for one another, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. Notice we're reading this in the New Testament. People that claim that the law has been done away with, well, it's very clear here, it talks about what sin is. Verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased or an unapproved mind to do those things which are not fitting. It is very tempting to sin, but we know what the consequences are when we do sin. What should we do when we are tempted with sin? Notice James chapter 1 and verse 17 through 25. James chapter 1 and verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. In other words, God does not change. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Saying that the wrath could lead you to sin. Verse 21, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness and the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But, verse 22, be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. Verse 25, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. And if you're blessed in what you do, you should be happy. Not only do we have to hear what we are being told, but we have to do it as well. When we are being taught in a class, we take notes. And then we study those notes so we can pass the test. Unless you have a complete perfect understanding, you don't need to take notes, and you hear it one time, you remember everything, but that's very, very rare. That's most likely not the case. We listen to what the teacher says, and then we apply the information on a test. The same goes for all of us spiritually speaking. We have our preachers that preach to us, and we listen, we take notes, so that if we are ever in a pop quiz situation, we can answer and do it in confidence, thereby passing the test. Now, we do, however, have an extra edge. We have the Word of God. We have the Bible. And this right here is going to help us pass the test. This is our study guide. All the answers are in the Bible. But to help us better understand the Bible, we have our teachers, who through God can teach us. With all this valuable information, we have to do our part as well. This is how we grow towards perfection. Notice Hebrews chapter 6 and verses 1 through 3. Hebrews chapter 6, starting verse 1. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. God has to permit it. Just as God permits trials in our lives. When we are baptized, we have His Spirit, His power, to give us strength. And that strength can overcome any trial. Because God can do anything. Once He has given us that permission of our calling, we have to be strong and faithful to that calling. We have to be excited about His calling. Of course, there are times when we are down. There are times when we feel like quitting. There are times when we feel alone. And there are times when we are depressed. And during all these times, we have to feel encouraged because of what God promises us. God knows exactly what we go through, and He knows exactly when the times are tough. And that is when we should most definitely pray to God and study His Word, because that is also the time when we are most vulnerable to sin. It is so easy to have a bad attitude, and it is so hard to keep a good one. It's very easy to sin and very difficult not to. It is very easy to quit. And it is very difficult to keep going when times are tough. But even though things are difficult, they are not impossible to overcome. And because we know that God is there with us always, we should feel safe and we shouldn't worry. Matthew 6:25-32 tells us what not to worry about. We shouldn't worry about our life, what to eat and drink, and material things we lack. Now, I'm talking about somebody who constantly worries and lacks in faith, but we may get caught up in that. What we must do is what it says in verse 33 and 34, seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, because then after we do that, all that we desire shall be given to us. Take it day by day, not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. To help us better strive for that perfection that we so desperately need, there are a few aspects that we must continue to work on and must continue to remember and apply in our lives. We read about these in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 13. The first one is hope. We hope for the future, for Christ's return. We hope that we will make it and be a part of the God family. Notice Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it in hope. Verse 21. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Verse 23, not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly awaiting for the sonship, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? Verse 25, but if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. At the same time, we have to have patience, waiting in hope to be saved. The second one is faith. which we also must have. Since we're in Hebrews. Oh, wait. No, not in Hebrews. But let's go to Hebrews in chapter 10 and verse 18 through 23. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 18. Now, where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Hope and faith, they go hand in hand. And with that comes one more trait, which we read about in the next verse, verse 24 and 25. Verse 24, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is a matter of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Love is very important, and the greatest of all three. We have to love each other as a family, and that is what we're supposed to do, to have, and what we are supposed to show. If we don't show any love for others, then we wouldn't have hope, and we wouldn't have faith. If you don't have love, you don't have anything. We must love the church, we must love the work, we must love God's law, and we should also consider the tests and trials that God allows in our lives, because we all love to pass those tests, right? And God also loves to see us pass those tests. With love comes faith and hope. So if you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 2, And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge. Why do we understand all mysteries and all knowledge? Because God has given that gift to us to understand. And though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains but not have love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. And verse 13, and now abide faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. If we apply these traits in our lives and continue to study and not just listen, but do what we are being taught, continuing to pass each test that is thrown at us, striving for that ultimate goal, and one day we will be able to achieve what we have been working so hard for, that perfect score.